Today's reading is from 1 John 1 to 10. And I'm reading from the Reformation Study Bible, the New King James Version. What was heard, seen, and touched? That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Fellowship with him and one another. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Thanks be to the Lord.
Have you ever thought about the reality that somewhere in our community, locally and globally, that an upheaval in someone's life circumstances is taking place right now? Putting everything else aside that happens, without a doubt, the impact of COVID has affected every home in one way or another. This time last year, in 2021, I did not know anyone personally in Australia who had contracted COVID. It's the total opposite this year. There are very few friends and family who have not had a positive test within their midst. And on top of that, independent of or related to COVID, there are financial stresses, job insecurity, illness, ideology divisions, loss, grief, isolation, separation, domestic violence, marriage breakup, mental, emotional, and physical health issues, assisting our children in schooling, fear. No age group is immune to the impact of the upheaval that seems to be all around us. These events are shaking, if not shattering, to individuals, to their family, to a faith community, to the wider community and beyond. I pray that I never become numb or desensitized to the shakeups that happen in people's lives. Yet I have become accustomed, though hopefully never unfeeling, to their occurrences. I know that we live in a highly breakable, highly shakeable world. It's not a matter of people whinging or complaining about their circumstances. It's just a true fact that surprising and shocking things happen. While their impact may differ upon each of us, we all experience these kinds of things. None of us, no matter how much we have seen or been through, is shockproof. When we look into God's word about how we can become ambassadors of an unshakable kingdom while living in a shakable world, there are great truths that are important for us to capture and embrace, not just as hope, but also as a practical reality that really can happen in and through our lives. Over these next four Sundays of January, we're going to be looking at the book of 1 John and four pillars that build an unshakable foundation: unshakable truth, unshakable zeal, unshakable love, unshakable faith. Some quick questions about the book of 1 John to address first. Who, where, why? Who wrote 1 John? The three letters of John, also referred to as epistles, which means letters, are among the last written in the first century. There are differing views about who the writer is. Was it the Apostle John, a member of Jesus' inner circle, who also wrote the Gospel of John and the Book of Revelation? Tradition says that John, the son of Zebedee, wrote the Gospel of John around 85 AD, the three letters in Revelation around 90 AD. And he died in his early 90s, in the early 90s, and was buried in Ephesus. On the other hand, the books of 2nd and 3rd John, which are grouped together with 1 John, are slightly different because the author identifies himself as the elder. But this doesn't confirm the exact identity of the author. Is it still the Apostle John, or now he's at a grand stately age of around 100, or is it another John? For simplicity, we will just refer to the author as John, regardless of which one it was. Despite the scholarly discrepancies about the origins of these letters, 1 John is very practical, easy to read, yet challenging both theologically and spiritually, and a great foundation to build on our unshakable pillars. So where does it take place? Well, 1 John is penned as a result of a particular problem that the writer sees infiltrating the Christian church in Ephesus. So though it was relevant to them, it was also relevant to other churches, and it's definitely relevant to us today. Why? Because during the later part of the first century, when John writes this book, the Greco-Roman world is in a state of distinct disorder. Idol worship invades every level of society, and people even worship the emperor. The church is under attack. Many false teachings exist. Yet in the midst of this immense discourse, John ministers to at least 7 churches in the area who have or did stand as beacons of truth. So against our current backdrop of uncertainty that we are familiar with, it's appreciated to discover an epistle whose very theme is a theme of Christian certainty. As John opens up his first letter, he skips the traditional greetings that we're used to and familiar in the New Testament epistles, and he jumps straight in to assuring those attacked Christians of the one thing that we must be sure of. The gospel is reliable. It is the truth. It is an unshakable truth. A solid foundation. By hearing and responding to Jesus's call, it is possible for his unshakable kingdom to penetrate the fabric of our lives. And even though we may be shocked by the circumstances, we will not be shaken by them. Even though things rattle us and feel like they're exploding around us, there comes stability, not because of anything in our own being, but because something steadfast that is flowing into our lives by the promise and power of God. So 1 John 1 begins with that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of God. These are consistent words with how the author of the Gospel of John begins, but the language is a bit different. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. This refers to the fact that the gospel message has not changed. Since the time that it began to be proclaimed until now, the gospel remains unchanging. God loves us. God wants a relationship with us. God wants to transform our lives to become the people we were originally designed to be. God extends this as an invitation to us, not forced, but not as to be as puppets, but by our own free will to choose. That is unshakable truth number one. Do you ever get frustrated with politicians or any person in power or of influence who seems to change constantly? It can feel like they change their mind about something in order to pick up more votes. I know I dislike it. I appreciate people who are willing and do change their minds because they understand a new view, but not those who change in order to impress or get a vote. the gospel never changes. Remember that John is talking to a group of people whose minds are being influenced by false teaching regarding the very nature of the gospel. John opens up his message with a stirring vote of confidence. The gospel never changes. Are you going through a rough time? The gospel never changes. God is consistent and present. Are you faced with challenging situations and changing situations? The gospel never changes. God is consistent and present. If your hope is in anything else, you'll be disappointed. Why? Because everything else changes. The gospel doesn't change. God's message does not change. It is always consistent. So here's unshakable truth number two. The gospel is experienced. We read in verses 1 to 3, again, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim it to you, the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard. Pre-Gnostic teaching said that Jesus would never have come and taken on a human form, since they believe that matter or physical is evil. Yet John says, we have heard, we have looked upon, and we have touched with our hands. To have heard is not enough. The Old Testament people heard. To have seen is not enough, but to touch. Remember the importance of Thomas after the resurrection, to touch. John says, you say that Jesus didn't come in the flesh. Look, everyone, I've touched him. The Eternal One entered into humanity's finite time and became temporal, and John experienced it and says that our gospel is rock solid because I have experienced it. They proclaim and testify to it. Many times I've had a conversation that went something like this. How would you defend your faith? How would you prove that God exists? And regularly the response is, I know God exists because he's changed my life. I've experienced the gospel. That's my testimony too. God has changed my life. And I thank God for that. There's no stronger truth than the reliability of the gospel than its power to change lives. Have you experienced the gospel? Then you know it's reliable. Unshakable truth number three. The gospel brings life. We read in verse 2, we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. John identifies Jesus and the gospel with eternity in no uncertain terms in verse 2. The message of the gospel brings life, and that life bears witness in the person and the work of Jesus who we passionately follow. This verse is central to understanding the whole book. Friends, do you understand why the gospel is so reliable? It's reliable because it's enduring. It can be experienced. It brings life. Against the emotions, the teachings, and errors of our day, the gospel is completely reliable. Many things will try and capture our attention. Many will discount the word, the work of Jesus in our heart. When opposition comes, people doubt their faith because it can be hard. But we're not alone because we can stand on a rock-solid gospel. Our faith can be strengthened in face of opposition. As we have considered the rock-solid nature of the gospel, we have noted that it's reliable, but we also look closer at our text today because another truth stands out. Unshakable truth number four. Verse 3 says, gives us the purpose of why John is proclaiming the truths of the gospel when it says, in order that you may have fellowship with us. If that's the purpose, then what's fellowship? Well, it's certainly more than gathering together on Sunday, either online or in person. In John's writing, he makes a big deal about Christian fellowship. Horizontal fellowship is not just a relationship with other believers, but a partnership in the gospel ministry. It is a deep and abiding love and commitment to others in the body of Christ. Consider who your closest friends are. Are they people who allow you to partner with them in the gospel? When's the last time that you spoke to your friends about what God's teaching you? That's the purpose of true Christian fellowship. Don't get me wrong, though. We need to be expanding our relationships to include people beyond the church community, beyond Christian thinking. We need to have a broad range of friendships. Though it's important to have those who bring us closer to Christ, which in turn equips us to reach out to those who have not experienced God's transforming power. The gospel brings true, abiding, uplifting, horizontal fellowship. And John doesn't want us to lose that. John goes on in verse 6 and 7, if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. See, John explains that ultimately the most important fellowship, the most important relationship is the one that we have with God, with Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, not just with people. The true gospel message brings fellowship with one another and with God. How's your fellowship with God? Are you partnering together with God in the gospel, in ministry? Unshakable truth number 5. This will be our last truth focus for today, and it comes from verses 8 and 9. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. No one is perfect, and we are to be held accountable before God. And John assures us that we can hold on to the unshakable truth that God is just and faithful. When we confess those areas in our lives of not putting God first and turn away from them, he will forgive us. And this is an ongoing process. Hence the importance of being grounded daily in our relationship with God through the reading of God's word, through prayer and fellowship that helps us along that journey. By hearing and responding to Jesus' call, it is possible for his unshakable kingdom to penetrate the very being of our lives, that even though we may be shocked by circumstances, we won't be shaken by them. Even though things may rattle and explode, or feel like they're exploding around us, there comes stability, not because of anything in our own being, but because of something steadfast that is grounded in our lives by the promise and power of God. This is the unshakable truth. The devastating upheavals taking place in our world today underscore how critical it is for each of us to receive and experience his unshakable kingdom, to receive that unshakable kingdom for ourselves and to share it with others. It begins with new life in Christ, without which Jesus says we cannot enter the kingdom of God. Read John 3 as a reminder of that. New birth in Christ brings us into a new dimension of life where the Lord can work that stability in us. And then the unshakable nature of his kingdom in our lives equips us to become a resource to others, to overflow his joy, his consistency, the goodness, and strengthen them. There is a desperate need for people who are truly grounded to be evident and functioning in a changing world. People who can be depended upon because they are open to being an expression of the solid foundation of a living God. Is this your story? Is this your direction, your purpose? Are you building on the foundation of Jesus, the cornerstone of our life, with these pillars of truth? I certainly hope so. Will you pray with me? Oh, gracious God, we thank you that you are this foundation of which we can build our lives. We thank you for that unshakable kingdom that you are in charge of. And in this day and age of uncertainty in our lives, in our communities, in the world, we want to be drawn to you, that each day we focus on you, begin each day knowing that you are in charge. Again, Lord, I pray for those who are deeply impacted by COVID. Lord, I pray for the circumstances that not only health, but what just expands out of that. Help us to be a community that support one another where we can. We pray, Lord, that your kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you that you are our cornerstone, the foundation. Thank you that you are a just and faithful God. And thank you for your word that you give to us, to guide us, to challenge us, and to draw us closer to you. And I pray this in the name of Jesus, in the power of your Holy Spirit, your gift to us. Amen.